Well, it certainly has been fun, enjoyable for me to consider that I have the opportunity to address you on this day in the midst of our big anniversary. And also on the day of the autumn equinox. So I've thought about that quite a bit, and I know that the fellowship began at this time of year, not by chance, but by intention through Tommy Raines, who was very attuned to things like the equinox and the intention of the way stars and planets align. And in case you haven't thought about this, I've been doing some reading about it this week. This is the point in our year when the days get shorter and the work of spirit and of our personal consciousness goes deeper. It's the time when instead of attending to the external, we move into our personal spiritual selves. You may have noticed that coming up for you. You may have noticed a little, what is this? What kind of happening am I experiencing now? Or you may find yourself just more interested in challenging some of the spiritual difficulties or challenges. You may decide, I've got to attend to that now. I've got to look at that a little more carefully. So how wonderful that our fellowship began at the point in the year when we naturally turned to more spiritual themes, more spiritual solutions, and kicked ourselves off at that point. I've also thought a lot about, okay, what were some of the pillars of fellowship? How did we start? And as a lot of you know, many of us that were there as we kicked off had been students of Amalia Franks at Unity Greater Lansing. And she had one major theme, I would say, that she taught us. And that was that our thoughts were creating our experience. And that the way we were to change the external of our lives was not to go shoot the screen, so to speak, but to work within. To work on our thinking. And she challenged us constantly to do things differently and think about things differently. She would tell us to drive a different way to work. Do you remember that? Don't go the same way you've always done it. Rethink that. Take on something new. And that, as you know, the wonderful song, Our Thoughts, Our Prayers, came from her teaching that if we wanted to change what was going on out there on the screen of our life, we had to change our thinking. So that's where the fellowship started. And as I've been thinking about some of our, past, I've had little visions of people and things. And one vision that was very clear to me, which is that, again, a great message, because sometimes we feel like we have fallen back, you know. Oh, well, I used to know that, or I used to practice that, or I was so sure of that, and I've stepped back, and it might be stepping back from meditation, it might be stepping back from being more spiritually centered. And then I had this vision of something that we did for a while, and that was we used to do the Dances of Universal Peace. After a fellowship on the grass outside of the Unitarian Universalist Church over by the East Lansing Library. And we had a member, Majid, you remember Majid, he would lead us in these dances. And there was one that always touched me, and I was always so thrilled to take part in that. And because we would chant as we'd move together in these circles, and, you know, it was very simple because all of us could do it, but we would chant and turn and move together. And the chant that we did was, even though you've broken your vows 1,000 times, come, come again. Even though we've broken our vows 1,000 times, come, come again. What a wonderful releasing that is. What a wonderful step into spiritual work that can be. And that idea reminded me at that time, and I wish I could tell you exactly where this is in the Bible, but there's a Bible story, because I was raised in a church with Bible stories, and I don't remember the names of these people, but I do remember the ideas that they were trying to portray. And it was the story, I think it was Joseph and his brothers, and they left, and Joseph was sort of a wanderer and maybe a ne'er-do-well, but the brothers that were really the good guys, you know, were always sort of taking care of and, you know, trying to get their father to like them a lot because they were the good boys. And then, again, I think this is Joseph. Joseph decides to return home. And his father sees him coming. I don't know why I'm so thirsty. From a distance, excuse me. And the brothers weren't happy about that, because the father was so welcoming. Even though you've broken your vows 1,000 times, come again. Come, know that that love, that welcome, that sense that my love has never been interrupted is for you. And what a great gift that is, isn't it, for all of us. So I'm saluting you, Majid, wherever you are, and are turning and singing, even if you've broken your vows 1,000 times. Come again. So at different points in getting ready to come here today, I had a stack of books like this, and because I want to show you all the books we were reading, because the fellowship was really a study group in a lot of ways, and we were consuming information and teachers and books and discussing them and going to classes and groups, and it was quite over these years, especially I would say in those first, I'll just say 15 years. There was just a lot of, did you read this yet? And, you know, are you going to this group, et cetera? So one of the books, and I don't know if everybody liked the little short books, but I've always liked short books. I can get through them and actually read them. And one of them was, of course, Richard Bach's Illusions. And but I've always felt like it outlined a theme of the fellowship as the fellowship was developing, and I believe it still is. So I'm going to read you a little bit about this, but it's in this kind of print, so you don't have to worry, I won't be reading long. So here is the main theme of Illusions. Once there lived a village of creatures along the bottom of a great crystal river. The current of the river swept silently over them, all young and old, rich and poor, good and evil. The current going its own way, knowing only its own crystal self. Each creature, in its own manner, clung tightly to the bottom, to the twigs and rocks of the river bottom, for clinging was their way of life. And resisting the current, what each had learned from birth. But one creature said at last, I'm tired of clinging. Though I cannot see it with my eyes, I trust that the current knows where it is going, and I shall let go and let it take me. The other creatures laughed and said, Fool, let go, and that current you worship will throw you tumbled and smashed across the rocks, and you will die quicker than being bored. But the one heeded them not, and taking a breath, did let go, and at once was tumbled and smashed by the current across the rocks. Yet, in time, as the creature refused to cling, the current lifted it free from the bottom, and he was bruised and hurt no more. And the creatures downstream, to whom he was a stranger, cried, See, a miracle! A creature like ourselves, yet he flies. See the Messiah come to save us all. And the one carried in the current said, I am no more Messiah than you. The river delights to lift us free, if only we dared to let go. Our true work is this voyage, this adventure. So, what a wonderful image for us in recognizing that our clinging, which represents our fear of all of this is certainly not what is taught in all the great books that we've chosen to embrace, where we are told over and over again, love, love is God, right? And as we moved along and moved into A Course in Miracles, of course, we were taught that each of us, and I think this is so helpful to continue to remember this, each of us has within ourselves this thing that the Course reminds us is our ego, which is fear-based, right? Which is take care of me based, is oh no, there's not enough based, right? And that's the ego, and the higher self, the true self, the God self that says to all of us, even though you've broken your vows 1,000 times, come again. I'm here, and I'm not out there. I'm right here. I'm right in the midst of you, wherever you are. I'm available to you. So as the fellowship developed, I think I've got a marker here, but maybe I don't. Yeah, never mind. Yes, we won't do Lazy Man tonight, Phyllis. Phyllis has been driving around with Lazy Man in her car for at least 35 years, right? Almost. And when she gets stopped at a train or at a light, she pulls it out. And at the back of Lazy Man's Guide to Enlightenment, of course I recommend these books to you, there's a little section that says even lazier, which all of us love. And I've got dots on a couple of these. And the first one says, no resistance. The next one says, love it the way it is. The next one says, go beyond reason to love. It is safe. It's the only safety. And the last little dot I've got here is, I wouldn't deny this experience to the one mind, which is a theme here, which allows us to know it's a perfect experience, even though it's challenging or difficult for us. It's still perfect. And one more little. Where are you? The fellowship threw itself into the work of the Course in Miracles as we began. So we had Course in Miracles groups going. Everybody had a course book pretty much. And a lot of our talks at the fellowship were around the course. And one of my favorite lessons, and again, a lesson that fit with all the other teachings that we were working on, was lesson 16. I have no neutral thoughts. And it says here, there is no more self-contradictory concept than that of idle thoughts. What gives rise to your perception of a whole world can hardly be called idle. Every thought you have contributes to truth or to illusion. Either it extends the truth or multiplies illusions. You can indeed multiply nothing, but you will not extend it by doing so. So, our idea that we have no neutral thoughts has us back to our wonderful Amalia teaching, which is, okay, what are you thinking? Can you make that change? Can you make that different? Also, when I think back on our fellowship for 35 years, I see Elise. Elise Harvey, the most unusually original person that we had at the fellowship was Elise. You know that, don't you? And I can't think of Elise without a smile, because for a while Elise lived very close to me. She came to my house a lot. I went to her house quite a bit, and she always gave a gift. She always had something. I don't think I was ever around Elise when she didn't give me something. It could have been one of her wonderful peace cranes. At Christmas, she made these wonderful cookies for her cookie walk, which I just loved. And so at the end of the cookie walk, if there were any left at all, she used to just give me a great big box of those cookies to take home. But it was like a loving, giving energy that she always gave. So I'm going to give you a little gift from Elise in just a second as I introduce this idea. One of the things that, as I'm reviewing myself as we're moving into this dark time of the year, which takes us more deeply into our inner world and into our spiritual beliefs and into how are we living those beliefs, is the practice, the discipline of meditation. And I have observed myself kind of step away from the level of discipline around meditation that I have practiced at other times. So I've decided, okay, this is the perfect time for me to move back into that meditative place. And the reason you want to do that is that what's shattering in your mind is usually your ego. You know, me, it's about me. It's about, oh no, it's about did I, you know. It's kind of a tough master, right? And what we do when we move into a meditation is we move from that ego voice into the awareness of spirit, of divine love, of reality, capital R, and truth, capital T, which does hold the answers that we're seeking. So, at one point, Elise said to me, I'll read the top of this, then I'm going to pass it out. I wrote, this is from the Fellowship's newspaper from April, May 2001. And this is the note from me. It says, every so often over the years, I've been asked if a written form of any of my meditations was available. Until now, the answer has always been not yet. Then Elise Harvey took a service tape and transcribed it. And this was, you know, Elise coming up and saying, I'm going to take this tape, you know, we always had, and I'm going to write down what you said in that, in that meditation. So the following prayer meditation was part of our March 4th, which is always a cool day, you know, March 4th. We're always trying to march forth, right? And so on one side of this paper is that. And on the other side is some suggestions that I wrote just yesterday to all of you on meditating. I think meditation is a very personal piece of work. But I think we can do a lot to encourage people to take that up. So I'm going to ask you guys to just pass these around. And so in conclusion, I hope that the fellowship will give you gifts throughout your time here, throughout your lives, and that you will find them useful. Are those papers getting around? My prayer for all of us is that the fellowship is a personal gift and blessing to you, that we continue to teach lessons that will help you apply truth in your life, and that you will be blessed by it. Thank you.